football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Well, then let's get into it. Welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James and Cole. We're back for week 8 in the 2024 season. We're getting down there. We've got 3 teams that have completed their full 8-game regular season schedule. They'll be on a bye next week. One of those teams, Cole, was the Colts, who finished a perfect regular season.
That they did, and we were expecting either them or their opponent, the Stampeders, to likely do that. Of course, playing each other, it was going to be hard for both of them to finish undefeated. I mean, it is possible with ties, but it's not always the case. And we officially only have one team that will remain undefeated throughout the regular season, but we'll get more on that a bit later on.
Absolutely. Starting off the day, we had quite a battle between the Rebels and the Lions, with the Lions coming out victorious in that one, 32-26.
It was a bit of a chillier morning to start our sixth annual Gordy's food drive, but the Lions and the Rebels did kick it off. Lions got up to a couple scores ahead of the Rebels. Rebels answered, then the Lions would answer, then the Rebels would answer. And that kind of went, you know, each team, you know, bouncing, trading scores back and forth throughout the rest of the game, pretty much. End up coming down to pretty late in the game. Rebels had a first and goal, second and goal, third and goal chance within the 5. And according to those who were down on the sidelines, the Rebels came within like a fraction of an inch of getting the game tying touchdown.
Because
they had a goal line view, apparently, that I did not have up in the broadcast booth. And I said it was extremely, extremely close. But apparently the referees did not call it over the line, and unfortunately for the Rebels, they ended up falling by 6 points. And it was a good game for both those sides. It was probably one of our, you know, apart from like, you know, Rebels Cowboys game earlier this year, it was probably the Rebels' most evenly matched game that they've had in a while.
Yeah, and so those two teams are through 7 games. They aren't finished their regular season yet, but they're tied in the standings at 2-5.
Yeah.
So right now they're kind of the bubble teams in that Div 3/Div 2 line. And with that victory, the Lions put themselves in pretty good shape to stay in Div 2.
Well, it actually moves them up to Div 2, because for the longest time, the Lions have been on the outside looking in for this season. So it is a positive for them, as they actually do that bit of a leapfrog. I'll break down more of how all that all looks a bit later on in terms of playoff picture and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was a good game for both those teams this morning.
Yeah, and we like to see those competitive games for sure. Following that one was the Eagles taking on the Mavericks, and the Eagles
little less
come exciting. Away a little less, but the Eagles come away with the victory, 40-6.
Yeah, pretty much just as we were expecting, all Eagles. Mavericks did have some glimmers of success, which again is good to see. Hopefully they can carry that on through week 9, their final regular season week, and as well into the Div 3 playoffs. And yeah, like it wasn't the worst game we've seen all year. Like it was fairly close in terms of score. Like, I mean, 40-6, yes, isn't that close, but compared to some of the other games the Mavericks have seen this year, it was a better game, a better result.
Yeah.
And they do have things that they can positively take away from that.
Yeah, and for sure.
With that, the Eagles did become the first team to complete their regular season, posting a record of 6-2, while the Mavericks fell to 0-7. And the Eagles were actually the first team to hit the 300-point threshold, and they were joined by two other teams a bit later in the day.
Oh, yeah, and as the boys in the trailer were quick to point out, that points four, that's just a stat to talk about. It doesn't mean anything. So,
no, the one that means things is the points against.
That's right. Yeah, that factors into tiebreakers and such. And in the third game over at Heller today, the 1 o'clock game, the Raiders took on the Cowboys, and predictably won that game 36-0.
Yes, predictably, because I think we were mentioning it last week, but it was a lot more of a fight for the Raiders than a lot of their games have been this season. Cowboys, despite their record being what is now at 2-6, as they also finished their regular season this week,
yeah,
they fought tooth and nail through that game. Raiders, yes, did open up the game with an 80-yard rushing touchdown from Devanny Brown, of course. But the Cowboys, you know, held their own and stayed in it and made it a competitive game pretty much throughout the entirety of the game. The Raiders didn't start scoring. Like, I think the Raiders ended up putting up 3 of their touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't a bad game.
Right.
And again, definitely things positively to take away from the Cowboys, especially in a season where, compared to the last couple, there hasn't been a whole lot of positives, especially in the win column. But yeah, no, it was a decent game, again, for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, and so earlier in the year, I had said that they could be in danger of Div 3, and now we're seeing that that is possible. They finished 2-6. The Lions and Rebels are at 2-5, so we'll see what happens to them next week. But we've also got the, you know, 0-7 Chiefs, 0-7 Mavericks. So it's only going to be one of those teams, Cowboys, Lions, Rebels, that falls into that category. And I think whichever one of those teams ends up being in Div 3 and gets that opening round bye is going to end up probably winning that Div 3 city championship. So it's not all is lost for those teams. There's still hope of a trophy.
Yeah, there's still plenty of football to play. You know, we still have 3 weeks after this. I mean, one team will have, I mean, a couple of our teams will only have two because of buys and stuff. But, you know, there's still plenty of football left to play. And yeah, we do have the 3 divisions for playoffs. So yeah, there's still hope for trophies, no matter where you sit in the standings right now.
Absolutely. Now, the biggest trophy, that's going to be up for grabs, and a couple of teams that are going for that met in the Encana game of the week. I think we should probably start dubbing it, because that's the field that gets all the best games, and this one was absolutely no exception. The Stampeders and the Colts came in. They were both undefeated. We knew that. We knew this was going to be a battle for number one. I think it went as expected in the way that it was back and forth. The Colts have probably a better, more consistent passing game than the Stamps do. The Stamps are probably a better ground team. Both defenses struggled at times, but in other times stood really firm and made really good stops, right? I think the big difference in this game, the biggest difference, was penalties. The Stampeders had two long touchdown plays that were called back. One was a holding. I think the other was a tripping call. The rare
There's a few of those this week.
Yeah. So, but even so, even without that, late in the game, the Stamps had a chance. They had the ball with plenty of time on the clock. They were driving into Colts territory. They, you know, all they needed to do was finish the drive, right? Score a touchdown, yeah. It's tied, kick the extra points, you win. But they ran into penalty trouble. And then the Colts defense made the stops they needed to and took the ball over. So in the end, the Colts get the victory 22-16 and extend their record to 8-0. That completes their regular season. They now wait for their first round matchup in Tier 1. The Stampeders fall to 6-1, and they'll play their final game next week, and that will also sort that out. But the top teams are looking really good, and when matched up against each other, we get some fireworks for sure.
Yeah, I didn't catch much of that game. I think I only caught the last like minute and a half because I was over doing the other game at Hellard Field, and I think that's probably our liveliest crowd that we've also had this season. Just with how loud it was towards, you know, good defensive plays, good offensive plays that were being made in the last, you know, minute or so of that game. It's like, oh, you know, the Stamps moved the ball and they got, you know, positive yards and the big cheers, or the Colts made a big defensive tackle and big cheers from the other side of the family. And
it was a great scene. Really, really cool. Just the whole atmosphere was electric.
And I will let Lots you talk hits. About our final game of the day.
And yes, our final game of the day was, again, it was a predictable outcome. The Wildcats and the Chiefs. And the Wildcats look like they were tuning up and getting ready for the postseason. And the Chiefs, for the most part, they looked like they were... they wanted better results. They tried. They were like, they didn't give up early. But the Wildcats were just that much better and, you know, eventually ran away with it and posted a 51-0, victory. But, what I noticed most of all was that the backups for the Wildcats were efficient. They didn't make a whole lot of mistakes. They weren't putting up a whole lot of touchdowns, but they did score, right? They kept scoring in the second half. So the starters played the first half only, and the backups played the second half, and they were still, you know, they're good. They're paying attention. Those second stringers are paying attention in practice, and they're getting reps every week that the Wildcats can win. So the Wildcats, they're now 4-3.
Mm.
But they've got a pretty tough matchup to close out the season. But they're probably solidly, I think, in the middle of the pack, in near the top of Div 2 anyways. And the Chiefs, again, fall to 0-7. They're getting ready for a first round playoff matchup against the Mavericks, but each got one more regular season game to go.
And yeah, next week should be definitely an interesting one. Of course, there's a lot of, playoff things up for grabs and whatnot. So lots of excitement around Shoal Ice.
For sure. Unfortunately, no game at Encana this
Think the
coming
dome
week.
might be going up though, so there might be
Yeah,
something new to see at Shoal Ice.
they're putting the
Well,
dome back
newish.
up. But we've only got four games on the slate.
Yeah. Do you want to do playoff potentials first, or do you want to do games first?
Let's look at the final games and we can talk about the playoff potentials as we talk about each matchup.
Fair enough. So next week 9 opens up with the Chiefs taking on the Lions. Of course, that is the 0-7 Chiefs against the 2-5 Lions. As it looks for playoffs, the Chiefs are either going to finish 10th or 11th as they battle the Mavericks. Right now, that is decided by points against. If either the Mavericks or the Chiefs can get a point or two, then they will likely secure the higher seed. As for the Lions, they are battling for, actually, they can get as high as seventh as they battle against the Cowboys and the Rebels, because all those teams are tied with 2 wins. So plenty of scoreboard watching for some teams next week. Our second game of the day, the Wildcats take on the Stampeders. As James previously mentioned, the Wildcats are currently sitting at 4-3. Stampeders take their first L this week and are sitting at 6-1. Stampeders have the edge over the Eagles as they have a game in hand, and I believe they won. Yeah, they won the first week, so they have the tiebreaker against the Eagles. The Also, are currently tied with the Raiders, and neither team they did not play each other this year. So that will also, if both the Raiders and the Stampeders win or lose, that'll also come down to, or even tie, to who has fewer points against. As for the Wildcats, they are battling for fifth and sixth against the Bulldogs. Wildcats. Do have that tiebreaker in the sense that they did beat the Bulldogs in week 4. The Bulldogs take on the Rebels in our third game, and as I was previously just mentioning, the Bulldogs are 4-3, currently tied with the Wildcats, and the Rebels are 2-5, battling the Cowboys and the Lions for the second or the third and fourth spots in the Div 2 playoffs. And trying to stay out of the ninth seed, which will be the bye in the first round of Div 3 playoffs. And our final game of the day, the Raiders taking on the Mavericks. Raiders are 6-1, battling against the Stampeders for second in Div 1. And the Mavericks are currently 0-7, battling against the Chiefs for 10th and 11th. Three teams have byes this week. Those are the only teams that have not had byes. Everyone that is playing this week has already had a bye previously in the season. So those three teams finish the regular season this week. That is the Colts, who are 8-0. They are first, guaranteed, no matter what. Any score happens. The Eagles are 6-2. They are fourth place, no matter what. So that means that we actually already have our first playoff matchup already confirmed.
That's right, Colts and
which will
Eagles.
be our final game of the day in 2 weeks from now on the 26th, which will be, as James just mentioned, the Colts and the Eagles. As for the other team with the bye that will be doing scoreboard watching, that is the Cowboys, as they are 2-6 and have absolutely no control of their fate and destiny and where they will finish in the standings, as the Lions and the Rebels are tied with them. And if either the Lions or the Rebels get a tie or a win, they will jump the Cowboys in the standings. If they both lose, being the Lions and the Rebels both lose, then the Cowboys will currently stay where they're currently seated in 7th place.
Right. Now, with the Lions taking on the Chiefs, I would expect the Lions to win that game. And although the Bulldogs would appear to have the edge over the Rebels, that could be a very interesting football game.
We could
So
potentially
potentially
see our defending
they could
provincial
come up with an
champions.
upset. And yeah, our defending provincial champs could end up fighting for city championships in Division Three this year.
We will note that there is actually going to be, for the first time ever, another provincial matchup. So whoever wins Div 3 this year will actually still get to play in provincial games.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know if that's spoilers or not. It's going to
Do
be
we?
another provincial matchup between us and Edmonton, as well as what we do for Div 2.
Oh.
So a little bit extra to play for.
Oh,
And
provincials
actually,
too.
so if we want to jump ahead and look at ahead for provincials, because why not? We're late enough in the season.
Sure.
Div 1, both teams that win the semifinals will make provincials. One team, I think whoever wins city finals, don't quote me on this, I'm not 100% certain. I think whoever wins city finals will host one of the semifinals. Whoever finishes runner up will go down to Lethbridge. So we could actually end up having two Div 1 teams playing in the provincial tier 1 final.
Wow, that's
And then we
happened
have,
before. It's been a few years, but we have seen that in the past.
our Division 2 winner, which will play Edmonton's, I think, Division 2 winner, and then again our Division 3 winner will play Edmonton's equivalent, Division 3 winner. So still plenty of football to play for a lot of our clubs, and even potentially a provincial title.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And the other thing in other CBFA news, it was Gordy's food fight today. So
Yes.
we don't yet have the results. However, I did catch up with one of the ladies who was there to pick up the food on behalf of the Veterans Food Bank, and I'll be putting that interview on here after Cole and I are done. So stick around at the end of the podcast for that interview.
I was talking with Lana when we were at Scholdice earlier, and we should have the results of things and who won the pizza party during the week. Of course, no stress on Lana on getting that out to us and to the teams. Of course, been a busy day
Oh,
organizing
yes.
and running all of the food fight stuff, and we greatly appreciate everything that Lana does. And yeah, no, it was good. I think it was a good this year, and for all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it always goes well, and I know it's appreciated.
Well, and of course, it goes to a good cause too, right?
Absolutely. All right. Have we got anything else? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
All right.
Went
Yeah,
through all of our playoff potentials and
we missed Grant Pollock at the park today. He's away for Thanksgiving, so we will close in saying happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and we'll see you at Schold Ice Park next week.
unless you're listening to this after Thanksgiving, then I do better and listen to it right as it goes out.
I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Then listen to it another 15 times after
And seasonal
that.
greetings for whenever you happen to be listening in the future. And happy birthday, whenever that may be.
Sure.
On that
Whatever, James said.
note, we will call it there. Thanks for listening, and yeah, stay tuned for this interview. Thanks.
Hello, this is James here. I'm at Schold Ice Park on Saturday. It is October 12th. It is the day of Gordy's food fight for the Veterans Food Bank, and I'm here with Janine Chambers, and she is helping to look after the collection of all the donations from all the teams today. And I just want to say hello, Janine. Thank you for joining us today, and we appreciate everything that you guys do, but please, if you would, tell us a bit about the Veterans Food Bank and how this CBFA program is affecting your guys' operations.
We appreciate it so much. We are absolutely humbled. This is the kickoff to our food drive season. Lana warned us of the absolute haul we'd be taking away today, and we're still absolutely gobsmacked. The items on our wish list and the most wanted items by our veterans, that's all we see, and we're filling a truck for the first time for us this year. It'll keep our volunteers busy. It'll keep our shelves stocked. We are absolutely so blessed to be here, and it's such a wonderful initiative. So thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much. I know that the teams have a bit of an ulterior motive. We motivate them by, offering them a pizza party, which I'm sure they love. But more importantly, we have a number of, aging fellas on the board and have been around a long time, and we understand just how much of a need there is in the community.
There absolutely is, and it's really incredible. And we're really trying to target individuals to come in before there's a real legitimate need. If you're a veteran, if you're a first responder, we're happy to have you and help out. We appreciate your service. This is why we're here. Our volunteers keep our store shelves stocked, store quality, so having an incredible variety is absolutely amazing. For the dry goods, we're moving into February inventory with as busy as we are right now. So this is absolutely a great bonus and a great benefit, and we're so happy to have more and more people come out because of our community partners that hear about us and know that we're there for those people. And it's been incredibly humbling to realize that it's not easy for any particular individual to ask for help, but it seems to be an especial struggle for those that are always running in on the front lines without thinking. They don't think that the help is there for them, and this is a huge showing that it is. It's absolutely incredible. We're so excited for this partnership. I don't know what else to say. It's absolutely amazing.
That's really, really well said. I know that we do appreciate all of the first responders and the veterans for their service, and I'm sure that they don't hear that nearly often enough. But again, if you are a service member or a veteran and you need help, please reach out. The Veterans Food Bank is there as one source of help out there in the community. And if you are on the other side of the table, you're looking for volunteer opportunities, I'm sure that the Veterans Food Bank could use an extra hand or two in their operations as well.
Absolutely. We're happy to have all the help we can get. We're looking for donation ambassadors right now to help with events like this, to deliver food drive boxes, to meet with members of the community, to drive the truck. Yeah, we have, not only do we have the food bank, which is incredible, we also provide counseling, and we can provide services for dealing with Veterans Affairs. So because it's so important for veterans to have some information to get the supports they need, if they struggle or, you know, they're of a certain age and what they have to do is make repetitive phone calls or send emails and they keep getting told to phone this person and they'll help, phone this person, phone us and we can connect you with somebody that can help so that we make sure that you get the supports that are available to you, not just the food bank. And we're absolutely happy. We have a few individuals that are able to look into that information. Our vice president works with Veterans Affairs. So we're really happy to help with whatever. If there's any assistance you need, give us a shout. Come down and see us. We're happy to help with whatever we can.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Janine.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Finally, remember to bring water and snacks to Shoal Ice Park on game day. We look forward to the return of Superfan Snacks. For now, they remain closed. Thanks for listening.